Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This morning reading from Canto 6, Chapter 16. King Chitraketu meets the Lord. And the text, number 635.
Tava vibhava kala bhagavan. Jagat udayastati layadini. Visrasrajaste misham shas. Chatramisha sparhadanti prithag abhimatya. Tava vibhava kala bhagavan. Jagat udaya stiti layadini. Vishrasurjastem shas shas. Tatram rishas sbhardati prithag abhimatya.
Ladies? No. No enthusiastic ladies. Okay.
Tava.
Your.
Vibhavaha.
Opulences.
Kalau.
Indeed.
Bhagavan.
O Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Jagat
of the cosmic manifestation.
Udaya,
the creation.
Stiti,
maintenance.
Laya
adini, dissolution, and so on.
Vishva
srijaha, the creators of the manifested world. They.
Angsha.
Parts of your plenary portion.
Tatra.
In that.
Mrsha.
In vain.
Spardhanti.
Rival one another.
Pritak.
Of separateness.
Abhimatya.
By a false conception. Translation. My dear Lord. Well, this is Chitraketu speaking to the personality of Godhood who was manifested before him. So it's a direct prayer offering his appreciation and his praise of the Lord's position. My dear Lord, this cosmic manifestation and its creation, maintenance, and annihilation are all but your opulences. Since Lord Brahma and the other creators are nothing but small portions of a portion of you, their partial power to create does not make them God or Ishvara. Their consciousness of themselves as separate lords is therefore merely false prestige. It is not valid purport. Vaishnava Prabhupada. A devotee who has fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord, that's all of you, or trying to get there at least, knows very well that the creative energy of the living entities, from Lord Brahma down to the small ant, exist because the living entities are part and parcel of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 15:7, the Lord says, Mam evam sa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanah. Translation: the living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal, fragmental parts. The living entities are nothing, but very small portions of the Supreme Spirit, like sparks of a fire. Because they are part of the Supreme, they have a creative quality in a very minute quantity. Paragraph. The so-called scientists. Here goes Prabhupada with the boxing gloves. So-called scientists of the modern materialistic world are proud because they have created modern facilities like great airplanes. But for the credit of creating the airplanes should go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not to the scientists who have invented or created the so-called wonderful products. The first consideration is the intelligence of the scientist. Semicolon. One must be elevated by the dictation of the Supreme Lord, who says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Mataksmritir jnanam apohanam cha. From me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Because the Supreme Lord, as Supersoul, sits within the core of every living entity's heart, the dictation by which one advances in scientific knowledge or creative faculties comes from him. Furthermore, the ingredients to manufacture wonderful machines like airplanes are also supplied by the Lord, not by the scientists. Before the airplane was created, the ingredients already existed, having been caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when the manifested creation of the airplane is ruined, the remaining debris is a problem for the so-called creators. Another example is that the West is creating many automobiles. The ingredients from these cars are supplied, of course, by the Supreme Lord, and the intelligence for the so-called creation is also supplied by the Lord ultimately when the cars are demolished. The so-called creators are faced with the problem of what to do with their ingredients. The actual creator, the original creator, is the personality of Godhead. Only in the interim does someone create something with intelligence supplied by the Lord, and later the creation again becomes a problem. Therefore, the so-called creator is not to be credited with the act of creation, The only credit goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is rightly stated herein that the credit for all the opulences of creation, maintenance, and annihilation belong to the Supreme Lord, not to the living entities. This is Sunday morning, so I'll assume there's some people here that aren't here Monday through Saturday, but you come on Sunday morning. Nice time to come to the temple. So I'll give a little background so that the context is appreciated. Depends on how far back we go. The speaker is a king who used to be like us. Well, better than us. He was a very religious, highly qualified person in certain ways, but the part that was like us is that he was attached. He had a very specific attachment. As a king, he felt part of his duty as a king is to ensure that there was a successor, a prince, a son. And he was so determined in his duty that although it was apparent to everybody else except the king that it just wasn't meant to happen, he kept marrying. He married more queens than Krishna, put it that way. It was a big number. And Krishna had a lot of queens. But Krishna is, of course, different. He expanded himself into every palace, and each palace, he had a palace, not just a house or an apartment. He had a palace for each of the queens, 16,108. King Chitraketu surpassed Krishna numerically with the intent that maybe with this queen, maybe with that queen, there would be a son, but there was no son. So there are some things in life that we just shrug our shoulders and acknowledge something isn't meant to be. Not part of the plan of the Supreme Lord. King Chitraketu couldn't do that. Too much attached. And so a whole series of events took place by the mercy of a great sage, Angira Muni, first of all. Angira visited the king, saw he looked like a wreck, and asked him what's wrong. And the king said, I think you know, because you're so very dear to the super soul, you must know, but you're just asking, and so I'll tell you. I want a son. Big time, I want a son. So Angira could understand, this man can't hear transcendental knowledge, like a little detachment, please. He couldn't hear it. And so he made an arrangement so he could become detached by circumstance. Perhaps you've heard this. There's different levels of intelligence. One is just by hearing. This is as far as I can reach. Topmost is just by hearing one can understand. That's first class intelligence. Below that, one hears, one doesn't understand, but one sees, and then one can understand. And below that is one hears, doesn't understand, one sees and one doesn't understand, one experiences, and then one can understand. And then there's a fourth class. All of those things and they still don't understand. So Angira was trying him out for third class. That is, let him experience having a son who will then disappear because it's not meant for him to have a son and see what happens. And sure enough, the son, without all the detail, arrangement was made because Angira was super qualified. By a yajna, a son was conceived who later died. He died in a very awful way. He died because the co-wives of the king that were sonless or childless, they became envious. The king became, you know, overwhelmingly infatuated with Kritajyoti, his queen, who gave birth to the son and to the son, and so they became envious and they poisoned the child. Not nice. But envy can do stranger things than even that. So with enormous emotion of suffering, lost his child after having... Prabhupada gives this example. When a man is poor and somehow he gains some wealth and then suddenly that wealth is lost, the pain of that person that he feels having lost that short duration wealth that he somehow loses feels great misery. So King Chitraketu felt great misery, and then in the same palace came Angira and his friend Narada Muni. Then they imparted transcendental knowledge because he was then ready to hear. He heard. He not only appreciated through the hardship of learning the hard way what the necessity and the spirit of detachment is, but then they went further. From knowledge and detachment came bhakti. Narada gave teachings and devotion to the personality of Godhead, and he gave mantra. He gave a means of achieving spiritual perfection. And through that means of spiritual perfection, King Chitraketu was in the fast lane. It was just a matter of weeks. And he not only attained a heavenly planet, but he then saw the personality of Godhead face to face. And here he's offering prayers. That is quite unusual. So quickly. But the principle is not unusual. The principle is that what we are bound to material existence. Actually, even before we start doing things, we're bound by false ego. There's this wonderful teaching in Srimad Bhagavatam and in Sri Brahma Samhita that when the creation begins, before, as the living entities are cast by the glance of Mahavishnu into Pradhan, carrying the living entities and the time energy, the undifferentiated material elements become agitated. The modes of nature become active. They were dormant. And then the elements start to differentiate out, separate out from an undifferentiated state. And the first element that is generated is false ego. Before the living entity even gets a body, before they do anything in their body, they're under the whammy of false ego. You know, so what to speak of when we start doing something? When we start doing something, it gets reinforced. False ego, what does that mean? It doesn't mean like somebody that walks around with a swagger, kind of macho, and thinks, you know, I'm big. Of course, that's one type of false ego, a macho type. But any misidentification of the true self with what the true self isn't, namely matter, that's false ego. And there are all varieties based on the modes of nature. And then the corollary of that, from that false ego conception, comes the proprietary conception, mine. From I comes mine. Aham and mama. Like two peas in a pod. They just boom, boom. They go together. And everyone, without exception, pious people, impious people, any opposite you can think of, anyone that has a material body has those two. I and mine misconception. And we're ruled by it. We're driven by it. Good people too. Thinking I am the doer. Karta aham. Because that's what this verse is indicating. Where Chitraketu, here's the good news. Like really good news. According to the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam, that pervasive false ego that inspires fruitive activities, it inspires a sense of being the enjoyer of your fruitive activities, it inspires sense gratification, it inspires the whole material program. It can be dissolved. This is like a commercial, like an Alka-Seltzer commercial or something. Just place bhakti in your life and watch it fizz. The subtle body, bhakti has the power to dissolve the subtle body. No more false ego, no more material mind, no more material intelligence. What a relief. Whew. Yay. But the agent is bhakti. And of course, behind bhakti is the giver of bhakti. And behind the giver of bhakti is the source of bhakti. I mean, in this case, the giver of bhakti was Narada. He gave bhakti to the king. And the king received it because he was better than us. He really qualified. Far more than us. And his false ego got completely dissolved. And his material mind. I mean, imagine. No more material mind. Powered by, or strengthened by, or driven by bhakti. And that bhakti was so strong that the Supreme Lord came before him. And now here he's speaking, of course, in this case he's speaking about Lord Brahma and the process of creation. Because that's what Brahma does. Right? Brahma, we speak of Brahma as the creator. More accurately, he's an engineer. Any engineers here in the room? Probably a bunch of engineers in the room. At least somebody that studied it. Some that are teaching it. But engineering. And that's what Brahma is. He's like the super engineer. He's the engineer of engineers. And he gets the power to do that creating from the Supreme Lord. In fact, Brahma's in a very special position. He's within two categories of avatars. Avatar, distinct from the movie, avatar means one who descends from the spiritual world into this realm. So he's empowered with the Lord's creative potency, Srishti Shakti, because that term is used in this verse, Srishti. Srishti means to create. So that's what Brahma does. The Supreme Lord gives him Srishti Shakti and he creates. In his case, he creates the universe. And in our case, we create something. Wherever there is the mode of passion, there's some ladies over there making nice garlands. And that's a type of creation. Of course, that's utilizing that capacity in Krishna's service, recognizing the flowers come from Krishna, they're meant for Krishna. And the ability to make garlands comes from Krishna, so they use that for Krishna. That's bhakti. And anything that you can think of, that something comes into being, it comes from that potency to create, so that's Lord Brahma. And The second category of avatar is he's a guna avatar. One can be more than one. He's an example. He is in charge of the mode of passion, rajogun. And he then utilizes that in service to the Supreme Lord. Now some of you are maybe familiar with, this is sixth canto, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9, there's a description of Lord Brahma becoming realized in his spiritual identity and his service before he began the creation. He didn't just like run down the street and start building a universe. He qualified himself first. And his qualification, similar to what's happening here with Chitraketu, the Supreme Lord manifested himself before him. And when he stood and came into the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Personality of Godhead offered him a benediction. He said, please take some benediction. So he's very smart. He asked for more than one. And one of them he asked for, listen carefully, was, please protect me from the misconception that I'm the creator of the universe before I even begin the creation. That's a good thing. Please protect me from the sense that I'm the creator of this garland or the offering that's going to be cooked and offered to Krishna or the temple administration that's going to be going on or whatever, whatever. There's something outside of the arena of temple life that you go to work and you have a project that you're working on and you can pray to the Supreme Lord, please free me from the misconception that I am the doer. We're the servant, and we're making some endeavor. Scripturally, both of those are correct. We're not the creator of the product. Material consciousness says otherwise. Material consciousness says we create something. And because we create something, you know what? Then it's ours. And it's ours that we become the enjoyer of it. He's having a hard time. You're up late. Just keep jiggling his arm or something. And it's not just, you know, Bombay. It's, you know, it's not just human species. It's pervasive. All living entities carry the consciousness. It's fruitive consciousness. And the verse, Chitraketu, is speaking specifically about Brahma, that he may think, or anyone else that does some creating may think, that they're the creation of the, you know, that the word is used in the corporate realm, I've heard. Work product. Yes? Yes, work product. And other language. And, you know, we're creating it. Then you go to the patent office and patent it, and then you can sell, make some more of them and sell them and make some money and enjoy because you worked hard in developing the latest, whatever it is, through technology or something, whatever it is that one's profession is. It's ingrained. This, especially in this earthly realm, this, according to the Bhagavatam's description, there's upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. All scriptures of the world speak of that, heaven and hell, and where we are somewhere in between. So in this realm, this is the realm of passion. Again, not just Bombay. I mean, cities, it's more so. But just the whole planet, this whole region of the universe is the place where fruitive activities is really strong. People want to enjoy through fruitive activities. It's the name of the game. And you're good if you know how to do it. And then you're successful and you prosper through fruitive activities. Where your destination is after this life, that's another thing. Tendency is very strong, is my point. And the means to relieve one is not just, you know, little more of the brake pedal, little less of the gas pedal, and have a good steering wheel. Not just navigate your way through fruit of activities smarter and in a more clever manner. The program itself is faulty. Wise persons, as Chitraketu was wise, is understanding that. And when one acts through false ego, one thinks, I'm the doer. And because I'm the doer, once again, I'm entitled to be the enjoyer of what I do. It's everywhere. So what's the replacement for that? In the case of Lord Brahma, well, I'll just make a quick reference to Sri Brahma Samhita, you know, this little skinny book that hardly ever do devotees read it because it's the language is difficult. In text 49, Lord Brahma he becomes well acquainted with the ocean of truth through mantra chanting, and that part of the ocean of truth is his own position, you know, self-realization. He understands that his ability to create is a potency invested in him by the Supreme Lord. Here's text 49, see if you're familiar with it. Basvan yatangshma sakaleshu nujesha tejaha sviyam kiyat prakariyat tadvitadvadatra brahma yaesha jagadanda vidana karta govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Translation. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom the separated subjective portion, Brahma, receives his power for the regulation of the mundane world, just as the sun manifests some of the portion of his own light in all effulgent gems that bear the names of Surya, Kanta, etc. Sakaleshu is the Sanskrit for various types of gems. Bhaktisiddhanta just gives one of them, Surya Kanta. And there's others. You know, so like a diamond, people like diamonds. When you hold the diamond in the light and move it, it sparkles. But there's other gems, you don't even have to hold them in the light and they sparkle. They're just, having been exposed to the light, they assimilate the light of the sun and they radiate light. They glow. They store the light of the sun. But where does that light, imagine you saw a gem that gives off light. Something in a movie or something. But there's such gems. And where do they get their light from? From the sun. And as the gems get their light from the sun, the personalities that do whatever they do, Brahma the creator and or we that whatever we do, walk across the room. To get up and walk across the room. We can't do that without an ability to do so. Proof. The ability can be taken away. You can't walk across the room. That which you did for so long, many, 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 many times, take that ability away and you can't walk across the room. You can't blink your eyelid. You can't do anything. You can't digest your food. You're finished. Where does the ability to do anything come from? The verse is indicating from the Supreme Lord. That's not a difficult thing to understand. It's easy to understand. However, most of us don't function that way. Yes? We function as if we're the doer. Knowledge alone isn't enough because false ego is operating. And knowledge that we say yes to, when we start acting or interacting with the energy around us and other people, false ego rules. And we think otherwise than what we know. You follow? There's this big gap between what we know and where we're at, how we live our lives, practically speaking. So the variable, simply, is bhakti. When bhakti becomes aroused, then receive from one who has it, in this case, Narada. He's another empowered incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He's bearing the Lord's Bhakti Shakti. And the members of his associates, like, you know, us, persons that are in that same line as Narada Muni, from Lord Brahma to Narada Muni and Vyasadeva and so forth. Any ability that we have to do anything in devotion comes from the contact of someone who has devotion. Not otherwise. Not our own smarts or our piety or any amount of anything you put together. It doesn't equal the ability to become free from false ego. The connection between what we know and how we live our lives. That connecting element is devotion. How important is devotion? How important it is to cultivate, to awaken, and practically live our lives, practice a life of devotion. In one sense, we can say it's easy. In another sense, we can say it's not at all easy. Not at all easy because we're attached. But the process itself is easy. As Prabhupada would say, even a child can perform. And children perform. At least they do the activity of... I mean, sure, you've... In this big congregation, you have lots of children that as soon as the kirtan starts, they're dancing. And they're clapping, and they're smiling. And when kirtan's over, they feel kirtan is going on, and they're clapping, and they're making a lot of noise, like it was still kirtan. It's very natural, very easy. The process itself is very... It's natural for the soul. It's natural for even the conditioned soul. The process is very natural. The process has to... Behind it, we have to be thoughtful of our real identity and what the process... Where the process is meant to carry us. To awaken that... wonderful thing of devotion to the Supreme. So, I'll end in that King Chitaketu, he gets it. He is free from false ego. That's the qualification that attracted the Supreme Lord to come before him. And now this is just the consummation of that understanding. It's you, the personality of Godhead, who is the source of everything. Not us, and one who may be more powerful than any one of us, Lord Brahma, who can create a universe. Specifically, Prabhupada is pointing to the scientists. They're proud of creating something. Where'd the ability to create that something come from? Of course, they'll deny the ability comes from God, and the ingredients come from God. They have some other explanation that's the program. The theists and the atheists, the suras and the asuras. It's since time immemorial, not new. The theist may also create. Lord Brahma creates a universe. And devotees create garlands and worship the deity. I mean, to build this temple and manage the temple. It takes so much energy, so much. So we do things. We're not idle. But the opportunity is to utilize that which is from Krishna, including the intelligence of how to do what we do, and give Krishna the credit, and make the offering to Krishna with devotion. It's very simple. We're just complicated. It makes it difficult. Simple for the simple, difficult for the crooked, Prabhupada would say. So our heart needs to become not crooked, but simple again. A saying that I... like very much, Prabhupada said, one who has a simple and grateful heart can easily enter into the kingdom of God. So, King Chitaketu is helping us to become simple again. Hare Krishna. Any discussion? I'm leaving time thinking, wow, this is Bombay, and This is a lively group, and you're going to have a lot of questions. Let's see. Yes.
We are on a spiritual journey from Shraddha to Prema.
Yeah.
So first four stages of Shraddha, Sadhu Sangh, Bhajan Kriya and Anath Nivruti are recognizable for us as well as for others. But from Nishtha to Bhava, it is not possible to recognize so easily. Is there any objective method of recognizing these four stages?
It's not really on topic, but I'll respond anyway. Can you take the microphone from this gentleman? So he doesn't get too tempted. Keeping it simple. Real simple. Nishtha indicates firm faith. Firm faith means where there may be still some, there are some impurities of heart, some unwanted things of heart there, but, big important but, bhakti is now developed sufficiently that it can't manifest itself. It cannot manifest, it does not manifest itself. Bhakti overwhelms that tendency. So, an observable, which is what you're asking, that's the internal. The observable is, bhakti is non-stop. Non-stop, incessant, not intermittent. That's anishtita. Non-stop devotion. There's not, this is my expression, there's not two pockets anymore. There's, you know, the two-pocket program is so much for Krishna, so much for me. So much for Krishna, so much for me. It's a mantra. Me, me, Krishna, Krishna. Nishtha is there's only one pocket. The Krishna pocket. Everything for Krishna. There may be tendency otherwise, but the tendency doesn't, it's only one thing. Only one thing. That's an observable feature of attaining Nishtha. And then you can take that and develop it into the next observable, a taste. A taste. Not just, I do because I'm told to do, or I do because I think it's good for me, that's the mode of goodness. I do because it'll purify me. I do because it will, and I'm fixed in that. But beyond that is, there's some attraction, some taste. And then it can be shown, for example, by not just, you know, somebody completes their chanting and there goes the bead bag, but they continue chanting because they like chanting. As an example. Or an example that Prabhupada gives, the regulative idea of, you know, the worship of the deity, and I'm being trained as a pujari, and I'm learning the rudiments of what's the procedures, and so forth and so on. And in a more advanced stage, where there's some taste, the mind is contemplating what should be the next outfit, how will I dress the deity. There's one pujari I know. He's not an artist, but he has shown me about 100 different drawings of outfits. His mind is just absorbed in thinking of different outfits for the deity. Different designs. It's just absorbed. Not because, you know, it's his duty to do so. And they don't always get, they don't get made. It's just his devotion. You follow? That the mind just goes there because there's a taste. And then behavior follows the external part of behavior. There's those wonderful drawings. Amazing. Anyway. You get the idea? Something else. Yes, over here? Can you raise your hand so he brings the microphone?
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. Maharaj said one who has simple and grateful heart can enter into the... One who has simple heart and grateful heart...
Yeah?
Can enter into the kingdom of God.
You like that?
So, what is the meaning of to be simple? And if you are not simple, then how to become simple?
I'll say a few things. Are you familiar with the text Brahmanism and Vaishnavism? Bhaktisiddhanta? It's published. In that Brahmanism, he speaks of the primary quality of a Brahmana is simple. Simple means straightforward in dealings. He gives as the example in that text, the aspiring disciple of Gautama, who doesn't know what his gotra is. You know that passage. Because he's just very simple and straightforward. So straightforward is another. Straightforward, not crooked. Straightforward. Gautama accepts him because of that quality. That's a quality of a Brahmana, being very direct, very straightforward, not deceitful. There's another, it's Saralata. You've heard of that term before? It's similar, it's a Sanskrit term, simplicity. It's a requirement for surrender or submission. And it's, you know, I don't have any other shelter. If I think I have some other shelter, I'm not going to be simple. I'm going to be calculating. My material intelligence is going to be very, very active. If I do this, then I get that. Then it's not really surrender. It's business. And simple is I just have one shelter. And you can say this opposite. I don't have any other shelter. That's simple. That's one's heart is simple. And one's heart is complicated, or the opposite Prabhupada uses is crooked. It's deceitful. You know, I'm calculating all the while what's in it for me. Instead of just, you're my shelter. So we have these other shelters. And that's not simple. And we're very busy trying to maintain these other shelters. It gets really complicated. Just because I've been preparing for a visit to South India, a yatra, an example that's coming to mind is Quraysh. Before he was Quraysh, he was a householder that had great wealth. And he was known for being magnanimous with his charity. And one evening, almost at midnight, the deity in Kanchipuram heard this creaking of a creaking sound and asked their pujari, "What's that?" "Oh, that's Quraysh's gate being closed. He just gives away everything. He has great wealth and he's very charitable and he just gives it away and gives it away. And the next day he opens his gate and gives it away again." And the goddess of fortune said, "How much wealth does he have that he can just continue to give and continue to give?" Somehow that message got back to Quraysh, that the goddess of fortune was appreciating his wealth and his magnanimity with that wealth. And immediately he held his head, saying, "Oh no, now I'm going to become proud that I have so much wealth and I'm so charitable to give that wealth. Better I just get rid of all this wealth." And he gave it all away and left. and when to take the association of Ramanujacharya in a life of devotion. Only one shelter. I mean, that's radical, what he did. But that's him. He's, you know, we don't necessarily have to do that to prove that we're, prove ourselves or something. But that when there's only one shelter. Otherwise we're juggling Bahushaka Yanantascha Buddhayo Vyavasayana. Okay? Yes. Up front. How long should I go? 9 o'clock? Okay.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
After the dissolution of cosmic manifestation takes place.
After the dissolution of the cosmic manifestation.
Takes place. And till next creation, living entities remain within the body of Mahavishnu, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. At that time, those living entities, do they feel blissful or still they think of sense gratification?
They feel neither. They're in the state of consciousness called susupti. Have you ever had an operation? Ever had anesthesia?
Of course.
Of course. Okay, well, some people haven't. That's what it's like. When you are under anesthesia, were you feeling either A or B? You weren't feeling anything. That's the condition. Consciousness is in abeyance or suspended. They're still conscious, but so covered, it's that susupti state. Someone else? In the back.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, you were just mentioning the answer of last question that one shelter. So how in our practicing stage where we have very less faith do we come to this point of accepting that one shelter of Krishna and having the faith that okay.
Is your question how do we cultivate faith? That's your question? Not exactly.
Not exactly. Like a state where a person is attached to so many things.
We're attached to so many things, given.
And he gets this, that feeling of shelter from so many things.
So many things, got it.
Maybe from fellow devotees or like...
Okay, we don't need to list them, too many.
So, how to come to the stage of developing that mood of shelter?
Mood of charity?
Mood of shelter.
Shelter.
Yeah, one shelter.
How do you get to one shelter?
From that stage of having many shelters.
Well, there's first class intelligence, there's second class intelligence, and there's third class intelligence. So, most important is association with those that have that quality. That's the best. And hearing in that association is the best. And from our side, striving, not just like hanging out waiting for it to happen. There's something from the inside that we reach, you know, for that quality. We understand it's important, and so we seek the association cultivating that. Together with mode of goodness, I mean, regulation in our activities. And we accepting those things that we know will keep us in a purified state, then in that incubation chamber, striving in the, with the proper association. Somehow get the descending mercy of such qualified souls, and somehow hankering like that, and finding and taking the association like that. There's another way. And what, for example, with Chitraketu, he got smashed. He was actually qualified, but he had other shelters. And so that very qualified association helped him. They got a big hammer and smashed him. So that can work too. Do you know people that get smashed and then get really sincere after they're smashed? I know some people like that. And it depends. They can like get attached again after some time. There's a really nice section, I'll just end with this response. There's a really nice section in Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti, because that's her question. There's like, you know, several chapters answering the one question, because they're very important. How to become free from attachment? In her case, it's attachment to family. Karnamoni has left and she's, I miss my good husband. Naturally. She's been with her good husband for thousands of years. It's Satya Yuga. Tens of thousands of years. So she's very attached. And Kapila Dev describes Sankhya, and then he says, even with this power of discrimination, one can identify with Sat, but the tendency is to again identify with Asat. And then one becomes again entangled. And so bhakti is the only cure. And Devahuti says, help! Because this energy of yours, the Maya energy, is inseparable from the Supreme Lord. And so, and it's your energy or the Lord's energy. And so, it's like, you're stuck. Because even you know better. You have some higher understanding, some mercy has come with transcendental knowledge, and that's where that verse comes, where by the power of bhakti, that tendency can be dissolved. So it's those things, in short, those things that awaken bhakti. We have, Prabhupada has given in the Hare Krishna movement so many things, starting with Shravanam Kirtanam. And then Archanam. And, you know, Sevanam. So we do those things with the conscious intent of awakening bhakti, not just behaviors, but with a conscious intent of awakening devotion. Calling. It's very important. Calling for descending mercy. Eager for our devotion to awaken. Not just so we can get relief from our false ego and the material mind, but so we can come before the Supreme Lord with simplicity of devotion and, you know, His only shelter. We're not there. So we cultivate it through the power of the activities of bhakti with that specific purpose in the center of our consciousness. Bhakti awakens. Krishna smiles. He removes obstacles. He gives us some new ones, so we have to not, you know, rely on our material prowess and how to sort things out. So we just take shelter of Him. He arranges it if we want it. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai.